When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello and welcome to the Yellow Block Podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network. Since we last recorded, we've played twice, we're into the next round of the Pizza Cup, and we all fell asleep at Sinsel Bank. I'm Tim, and discussing everything posh for the last week, I have two opposites for a boxing showdown. In pessimism corner, weighing in with dodgy hair and a grumpy persona, is Mr. Dan Topknot Weldon. Hello, sir.
Hello, I'm very excited to be discussing everything with you regarding the football over the last couple of weeks.
Brick. And completing this Royal Rumble match in the opposite corner, weighing in at 8,200 pounds, it's Mr. Jared, three times host of the season. Farmer, hello.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, he's so grumpy. We did get a comment in after our last episode. Emerald Posh is in with his weekly, well, I say him, I'm assuming it's a him, in with their weekly evaluation of our show. They've put better than average, which I think is probably the best we've had for quite a while, to be honest. So we'll take that. And also, we're going to go back to 1999, and you'll see the intro to the show and why that was relevant here, because we've had an email, Jared. Well, and Dan, I mean, it's relevant, Dan. You're old enough to know what an email is. So, this is from Eddie. He's put, good morning, Yellow Block. So I'm sat here at 3 a.m. watching the Royal Rumble and questioning, as a grown man, why. But I thought to myself, what would make a great posh 11 to enter the Royal Rumble? So he's then listed 11. So we've got Stone Cold, fuck's sake, it helps if I can read. Stone Cold Steve Evans, Rob Van Dam Butler, Brett the Britman Hart, George the Animal Boyd, Hulk Hogan Ephraim, this is the problem, is it helps if I can read. That's kind of key to the role that I'm in here. Dan the King Lawler, Mark Little Guido. Now, I have no wrestling knowledge, so Dan, I'm hoping from your face that you'll be able to correct my pronunciation here. Macho Man Randy Thompson, Kane Ferdinand, like that one. Ivan Tony Koloff. Dan, help me out. Koloff.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, I thought you'd be a wrestling fan. I don't know. Dwayne The Rock Johnson Clark Harris, managed by Grant McCann of Whoopass. The location of the posh Royal Rumble is Marcus Madison Square Garden. Like it. Happy to hear any alternatives. Keep up the good work. Eddie from his mum's basement.
Cheesy chips all over the floor at Marcus Madison Square Garden.
I mean, it's clever, Eddie. I feel like you've put a lot of thought into that. Probably not helped by the fact that A, I couldn't read, and B, I've probably mispronounced some wrestlers' names there because... I'm not going to lie, it was never really interesting. I remember when it was WWF before the World Wildlife Foundation took that back and said, you can't use that.
See, I would question how bad this pay-per-view event was for him to have enough time to sit there and think about every single one of those names.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair. Do you remember? See, I remember WWF days. Jared, you're like, I don't know, you might be a bit young here. I'm not sure. I don't know. If I said Beehive Bedlam, does that mean anything to you?
Some weird Barnet Football Club podcast?
No. How dare you? It's the greatest game that you've ever had on your interactive television box.
On Sky? Was it on...
Yeah, on Sky. Yeah.
No, I do remember a bumblebee floating about. When my brother's older than me, he used to play that, yeah.
Yeah, but it reminds me of a conversation we were having just before with Kem and Air, where we were talking about British Bulldog, and you thought it was a PlayStation game, which is why I kind of thought I'd throw the Beehive, you know, Bedlam question at you, just to see if you'd ever heard of that one.
No, we couldn't afford Sky, so after a month, we had to stop playing it.
After a month, after the free trial. Sky's changed, isn't it? Beehive Bedlam was a thing. I feel like surely that's come back on mobile or something. Like, they must have reinvented that somewhere. That was too much of a cult hit to not be a thing. I feel like somebody should. Let's talk football, though. Some news that's come out of the club today. We have a new investor, Mr. Ian Crawford. This blindsided most of us. I don't think we really saw this come in. It's been really well received from what I've read on social media. Jared, what's your thoughts on Mr. Crawford joining the team?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't shocked. Obviously, him and Dara have got business interests elsewhere, haven't they? So, obviously, Ian's a posh fan, local businessman, really, really successful in his own field. So, I think he's acquired 5%, is it, and a place on the board. So, yeah, it's interesting. Let's see what it brings.
Do you think it will bring money to the club? In terms of, I don't just mean the fact he's purchased 5%. Do you think that there will be more money for the club to spend on players and transfers?
No. I think it will be more fresh ideas. And yeah, just another voice, really. Obviously, he'll have a say in things as a 5% shareholder. But yeah, no, I don't think there's going to be an influx of cash, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, it was. What's your knowledge of his background? What sort of businesses does he come from? Is he from the football field or...?
I know he's obviously got the leisure wear company, and I think there's an investment group he's involved in. He was briefly involved with a football club before at Spalding United. I don't know how long for, but I remember him being involved in that. Obviously, that's past hands now. So, yeah, he's flirted with sport, put it that way.
I noticed on his X account that he's put out basically saying it's a really, really proud day. So he's got that social media presence as well. Now, we had an investment company show interest before, Dan. In fact, we had a couple of Canadians from an investment company flirt with the club for a while. I guess my natural defence mechanism and the reason I throw this to you is this something that we need to be guarded of, or is this all but good news for the club?
I guess it's a bit of both, isn't it? Look, at the end of the day, he's not acquired a great deal of the club. I think the reports say 5%. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've read. It's extremely minority. If we look at the short term, bit of cash in, maybe it means we can make a signing in January. That would be nice. Maybe a right back. Ooh, lovely. But, you know, if we look at long term, I don't think it's going to make much difference unless Ian's got the money to buy out Dara long term, which, you know, that's all assuming that Dara even wants to leave anymore. So who knows?
I'll tell you what I would say. I hope he got mates rates because on Dara's poddy, I think he quoted that 1% of the club would be 220 grand, which is fucking madness. But one thing I would say about Dara is he gets the prices often that he requests. So yeah, fair play to him. But yeah, I would not be buying in at that.
See, I remember when you put this in a group chat the other day about 1% costing that much, which would mean that to buy the club would be 22 million, right? If my maths is correct. So, and you were all talking about how that was crazy and unrealistic. I know there's debt involved and I might be being a bit daft here and it probably doesn't include the stadium and so on and so forth, but 22 million doesn't actually seem that much for a club of our size. Maybe I'm just being unrealistic. Perhaps I'm being paid too much. I don't know. But 22 million doesn't, for what you're getting.
22 million does sound a little bit ridiculous for a League One club. The problem is that you've not really got anything to compare it with. Like, there have been clubs in League One that have been taken over in the recent history, last 5 years. But we're talking Derby and Bolton, and both of them were taken out of administration. So if you look at the way football's going and everything's sort of shooting up in price, maybe 22 million for a little old club like Peterborough is about right. To me, it does seem a bit high. We haven't really got football rights. You know, we don't get a lot of money elsewhere from anything other than selling players and gates. So I don't know. If that's the price he's paid and that's the price he's willing to pay, then at the end of the day, that's what the market will pay. You know, something is only as valuable as another person is willing to pay for it.
Yeah, I doubt he has paid that much, if I'm honest, because I know that they work together in other businesses, don't they? But I suppose, you know, it remains to be seen in terms of what impact this will have. But he joins the board. It will be interesting. You mentioned about the transfer window, Dan, and I mean, you'd probably argue it's maybe a little bit too late for any kind of impact on that now. The transfer window shuts in a couple of days, so maybe it's a bit late for that. But it will be interesting to see what we hear development-wise in terms of the boardroom over the next few months. In terms of transfers, none in, but unfortunately we've lost one today. Steer has left the club immediately. The interview that's been done with Darren Ferguson basically says that Steer wasn't happy to not take any guarantee that he would be number one. Obviously, Bielo is back fit now and was always allegedly meant to play in the Pizza Cup this week against Wimbledon. And ergo, Fergie couldn't guarantee that Steer would be number one. And I'm struggling with this, if I'm honest, Jared, because the only reason I can see that he wouldn't give Steer that promise is that we can't afford to keep him on. We need to free up a position to make a signing elsewhere if we're looking at FFP rules and stuff like that. I can't see why you would not give Steer that guarantee, because any fan and surely any manager at this level knows that Steer is the superior keeper out of three.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Darren knows that as well. I'm pretty sure he'd want to keep him. But I don't know. I am on the fence a little bit. I'm really gutted to lose him because he's head and shoulders above Bielo or Talley. I think we've all noticed that as well. He has installed an element of calmness in the back four, which we need at the minute without Kyoso. But for a player to demand almost that he starts every game, I don't like that. I don't think you can as a manager. I don't think you can say you 100% start in every single game, because what if the attitude drops off, or what about if he can't catch a ball for the next two games or something like that? Yeah, I don't like that. So I understand why he probably couldn't offer him that. I think the conversation was that he said that Bielo was going to start the Pizza Cup game. Well, as a number one, you'd expect that anyway, I'd have thought, because it's like a secondary trophy, isn't it? So, yeah, a little bit maybe arrogant of Steer to presume that. But, it's disappointing. It is a big loss, 100%.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose two points to you, Dan. Firstly, Fergie's interview was quite interesting. I don't know if you've seen this, but his exact wording was along the lines of, I was frustrated by the whole situation. Now, I might be reading too much into this, but it does maybe suggest that it was a decision that was made above him. And again, I might be reading too much into that. And secondly, Nathan, one of the hosts on this pod, suggested it might cost us the top two. Do you think that's the case? And what do you make of the Fergie interview?
I think you need to look at it from the player element as well. I mean, Jed Steer's coming from Aston Villa as his last club. He's not really played a lot of football to say how experienced he is and his age. You know, he's been second fiddle, if not third fiddle, the majority of his career. So to go to a lower league club and say, you know what, I want to start every game. If he's got the ability, which, you know, many would argue that he's shown that he has in the last few games, I think it's a fair ask. Now, is it a fair ask at Peterborough? I don't know. I think, really, given his performance over the season, Bilakapic has done enough for me to earn number one. And he was only really dropped, obviously, because he was injured. You know, you can't play someone who physically can't play. So Jed Steer came on the understanding that he was going to be a temporary fix to a problem that we have within the squad in, you know, Blackmore being unavailable and Bilakapic being injured. That's no longer the case. So bye-bye, Jed Steer. You have to consider the element of his wages. You'd imagine they're quite high, again, given experience and given past clubs. So there's obviously that element, and we know how sort of diligent the club is being with their finances this season. It's a very calm way of putting it. But whether it's going to cost us top two, I don't know. I think, realistically, we're going to suffer more on the right side than we are at goalkeeper. if we're not creating anything on the right midfield and the right defensive, you know, Kyoso and Poku have been fantastic all season there. If we lose those two, which we evidently just have, Poku being injured and again Kyoso going back to his parent club, that's affecting us much more than the keeper position is. If we can, you know, defend well and keep shots away, it doesn't matter what keeper we've got. You know, all they have to do is save the odd goal. And Jed Steer had hardly faced a shot against Lincoln. So, you know, realistically, there are other areas of the squad that we have to strengthen. And if the money comes down to it as the bottom line, I'd rather we spent money on a right back than a goalkeeper.
Fair enough. One of the players that we were linked with, if I'm honest, I think this was always going to be a bit pie in the sky. Ali El Hamadi has left Wimbledon to go to Ipswich. Apparently, we were linked with him, the striker. I don't think this was ever going to happen. We are, however, being linked with, forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, Michael Olakibi from Brentford. Played a couple of times for Brentford in the Premier League this season. This is a wing back. So, I mean, Dan, I guess it's that position. It feels like it's the obvious position. If there is going to be an incoming, it surely has to be, ideally, one that can play left and right back, but definitely right back, you'd feel.
Yeah, I think it has to be. We're struggling in depth. You know, every single game that we've played this season, you would say we're struggling with depth because we've got no one to bring on. You know, we lose Serge at the start of the window. We lose Kyoso a couple of days later. We haven't got anything behind Burrows and Katongo. So if we can bring someone in that's dual threat, can play left and play right, that's fantastic. It kills two birds with one stone. Even if they're not experienced, just to have something would be nice. So yeah, if we can get the player from Brentford, I'm very chuffed with that.
Question for you, Jared. So we talked about losing players this window and how that was the key. Would you take not having an incoming against not losing a player? Is that still a good window for us if we get to Thursday evening and that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, depend what player, wouldn't it? But certainly one of the star ones, yeah. I was hoping to see the back of JCH, not because he's a bad player or anything, but just because I know that would have, if JCH would have accepted the Charlton offer, Kyoso would be a PB United player now, I'm pretty sure of it. So I think that stalled everything, hasn't it? Things are obviously tight with the FFP ruling. Shame we're not a team like Forest who don't have to abide by them rules, do they? So, yeah, hopefully we don't lose any. I'll probably talk about it later on in the show, but I know there's interest apparently with Mason Clark. So, yeah, losing one of them now would be catastrophic to the chances of automatic promotion, wouldn't it, or even playoffs.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that now. EMC's had a fair bit of interest. Poku did. I think if there's ever a good time for him to have had an injury, it was probably when he was, because it nullifies that interest, doesn't it? So I feel like Poku will stay. Mason Clark, though, continues to get interest from several championship teams. It's all gone quiet on the Edwards front. JCH, it would appear, is now ours until the end of the season. He made it to the Lincoln squad on Saturday as well. I mean, I guess we'll summarise the transfer window next week when it's definitely shut. But of those players, I suppose, I mean, Jared, would it be Mason Clark? Would he be the... I'm looking at the big players there. If you're losing Edwards versus a Mason Clark versus somebody like maybe a Kipriano, where would be the kind of fatal position for us to lose if it did happen?
I think Mason Clark or Poku. We've noticed Poku being out of the squad, haven't we, hugely. Yeah. That right side is completely dead. I know that's a part of, you know, Kyoso not being there as well, not having a natural right back. But yeah, you just see how important Poku is to the team when he's not playing. And to take Mason Clark, which I'd argue he is a little bit more influential than Poku, certainly like goal involvements and things like that. Yeah, I think Mason Clark would be the one that would, yeah, just pack up, down tools.
In the interests of, clarity and balance, after last week's episode, the pair of you came for me and weren't particularly happy with comments that were made about Ricky Joe Jones. My argument to you was basically shut up, and you said that's very immature, Tim, grow up a little bit. But my argument here, and whoever wants to, you know, come at me first, so to speak, you know, crack on. But my argument was that he is not a starting striker for us at the moment. I 100% understand what he does in terms of creating off the ball movement and chances. And we said that on last week's pod. I think that's fair to mention. But as a striker, his decision making and his finishing is not good enough. And if there is anything that's going to cost us League One, cost us top two, I agree with you, Dan. I don't think it is the goalkeeper. And I don't think he's actually that right wing as much as that Will Skopperus and hers. I think it's that forward position. Now, if we've got JCH back, fine, but we all agree doesn't really fit into this team. Windowsill, unfortunately, hasn't really kicked on yet as much as I would have hoped. So I feel if there's a position that we actually need between now and Thursday night, it's a striker. It's not a right back as much as I would love one. I feel like it's that striker position. How about me?
Yeah, I don't disagree that we probably do need something else. But it wasn't that. It was, you know, how we've been praising Ricky J. Jones in recent weeks and how he's come on physically. He has improved his positional play, which we've all kind of agreed to. And then, yeah, he had one bad game and you've got people on the podcast saying, you know, he shouldn't be in the team. Couldn't hit a band door or along them lines. I know you didn't go all in like that. But, yeah, I just thought he looked quite short-sighted and looked a bit reactional, which you're normally quite good at keeping a level head, Tim. So yeah, well, I did listen to it and I thought, bloody hell, this is a bit strong, because I think he's been quite good this season.
Yeah, but it's not one game though, is it? And I said this to you when you came at me. It's when he had a run of three or four games where he looks better, but I would still argue that he's, if you look at our starting 11 consistently through the season, he's the one player that you would maybe change in that starting 11. I get what he does off the ball. I get how it affects opposition defences, but I don't think that's enough, because the amount of if we had a striker, a good striker that could score goals, we would be top now comfortably. There are games that we've either drawn or lost because we've created the chances. I know you don't like XG, Jared, but RXG would suggest that we should be bottom of the Premiership at the rate we're going at the minute. We are creating chances for fun, but we're just not scoring them. And that's because Ricky J. Jones can't hit a barn door.
I think you're being a little unfair there, Tim. I'll go back to what you said previously, that you don't think Ricky J. Jones is a starter in this posh team. Well, let's take signings out of the equation for a second, and JCH out of the equation, because he's obviously not fit for the team. You know, not saying that he's not a good player at all. He's a fantastic player, but he just doesn't fit into the system. If you take Jono out of the equation, he is the starter because he's the only striker in the team. Like you said, Windowsill is just not there yet. We've got two strikers. You know, we haven't got much choice. It has to be Ricky. Now, yes, I agree that he's squandered some chances this season, but I don't think you can say that with an out-and-out striker, we would do much better. Now, he gets into positions because of his pace, because of his agility, his athleticism. You know, the reason Jono doesn't fit into the system is because he is an out-and-out striker. He's that target man. He's the forward that, you know, makes the runs that you want him to and then finishes the goal. And, you know, he's dual threat. He's got the head. He's got the left foot of, I would say, magical ability. But, you know, apparently we don't like JCH anymore. And it just doesn't work in this team, because the thing that Ricky gives us that other strikers wouldn't is that pace. He draws players away far too often to let the wingers cut in and give us options that way. Poku wouldn't have scored as many goals as he has. You know, Ethron wouldn't have scored as many goals as he has this season. He didn't have Ricky in front of them, making those channels, making those runs and pulling defenders away. And everybody in this league defensively is scared of Ricky J. Jones, not because of his football ability, because he's so bloody fast. They just don't know what to do with him.
And I don't think any of us are saying to him that, you know, his pace is enough. But like Dan said, you really noticed it when JCH started, I think, V. Barnsley at home, how cramped the play was and no one had any room. It was all played in the middle. You know, the wing play weren't really there. It was boring. It looked like we had just completely changed how we play. And then put J. Jones back in there and, you know, Poku, Mason Clark had got space. Ricky J. Jones constantly running behind. Kyprianou's running forward. He really does change the way we play. And I think that is why we have been so good going forward this season. Because of the chances he creates for himself and for others. Yes, his finishing can improve hugely. But he has finished off some really good chances. I think a couple of years ago, that Derby winner he got, I don't think he'd have been alert enough to put that in. I know it came off the top of his head. But in that position where it was dropped at his feet, I think he'd have put it wide or over. So there has been marked improvements from him. And do we give him more of a chance because he is one of our own? We said that before, possibly. But for me now, he's certainly the best option we've got by a country mile.
Yeah, but therein lies the problem. You're comparing him to JCH, you talk about the Barnsley game there, but you can't compare him against JCH because they're completely different types of players. And Dan, in response to your point, there are players out there who can provide both, i.e. the pace and the movement and the ability to finish. I'd argue Craig McElhinney-Smith was that type of player. He was fast. He scared defences because of his movement both on and off the ball. But his ability to finish and know where that goal was natural. Ricky J. Jones doesn't have that. Ricky J. Jones isn't a striker. He's a very, very, very fast winger at a push, maybe. That's probably the hole that you would fit him into. He's not a striker because he doesn't have that ability to just think. It just does it naturally. He overthinks everything, and you can see that in his decision making. And my argument has always been, and still is the case, his improvement hasn't been, the trajectory of his improvement hasn't been enough for the amount of time that he's been at the club and the amount of games that he's played. No other player would have been given as many games at this club as he's had. We've had some superior talents who have not been given as much time as he has. And I feel at some point, as a club, we just have to go, do you know what? We so badly wanted that to work out, but it's just not good.
I still think you're being unfair. Like, I know what you're saying about chances, and you know, again, like you've both said, maybe we do give him a little extra because he's one of our own. But you have to bear in mind the position that the club's in. We're not in a position to go out and sign these dual threat strikers, the ones that, you know, Craig McElhinney-Smith and the likes. You know, we can't afford to do that right now. We haven't got the budget. We haven't got the ability in the market. And you have to bear in mind the way football in general is going now. The time of the striker has well and truly left us. You can count on, you know, your fingers and toes, the amount of top level strikers that are out and out strikers. And it's few and far between. Most of them are false nines, wingers converted. And they, you know, they're just, it's not the way football's going. So for us to have a winger as a striker in this league and creating space and giving us channels, it's probably a good move from Fergie and shows that he's actually developing as a manager.
Do you not think though, Dan, if we'd have signed Ricky J. Jones for a couple of hundred grand, summer just gone, do you not think we'd have a different opinion of him? That, do you know what, this is a young lad, he's got potential. And because we've seen all the previous stuff, and don't forget, he come on when he was like 15, 16 years of age, and what is he now, 20, 21?
I think he's just turned 21, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they are the development years. And even now, he's still got 3 or 4 years ahead where he really will, he'll push on. So I do think we have seen a lot of him. So maybe you're judging him on that slightly, because he did stand still, didn't he, for a good few years where there was no development. And I completely agree on that. And that was down to injuries and whatever else. He didn't get into the team. Flirted with it a bit in the Championship, had a couple of good games as I kept going on about that Swansea home fixture. But yeah, I do think it was harsh last pod, and I really enjoy him starting for Posh at the minute because, as I've just explained, how he makes the team play and his impact on the first 11 is really important.
All right, here's one then for you. He's 21. There's another player in our squad that's 22. Answer me or explain to me from a footballing perspective why Ricky J. Jones is better than Jacob Wakelin.
Because I've seen Ricky J. Jones play football and I haven't seen Jacob Wakelin play football. He sits on a bench well, though. He's quite good at that.
He does keep that bench warm. But the point I'm making is, to use the example you used, Jared, if we'd signed Ricky J. Jones in the summer instead of Jacob Wakelin, say, I don't believe that Ricky J. Jones would be getting the game time that he currently is. He's getting it because he's one of our own. He's probably on a lower wage than those players that we would bring in. He, you know, we feel some sort of responsibility to keep trying with this lad.
It's the pace. The pace gets him in the team.
It is, but there has to be more than that. You can't get to 21 years old as a professional footballer and just be fast.
No, I agree. I do agree completely. And that will, if he doesn't develop, he'll always be League One, League Two. But pace will always get him a game. Now, yeah, I fully get what you're saying, but for the way we play football at the moment, pace is vital. Where we played in the past, with all, you know, the crosses into the big man and stuff like that, different. But now, and again, as a winger, he doesn't have that delivery, so he wouldn't have fitted into that team. But now when we want that player running off people, stretching defenders, Ricky J. Jones is the only option we've got, and I think he's a good option.
So why, based on the attributes that you guys have mentioned there, why are we not putting him as a number 10? Why are we not having him run off a striker who can finish? Because he can still create those problems. He can still move the defence, but there's somebody there that knows how to score.
Oh, yeah. I think he's better running off the last man, getting in behind and really, really stretching him with the pace. He could do that from 10, I suppose. But I think from a number 10, you want more distribution as well. I don't think he's got that to his game.
We're running out of things he's good at here, aren't we? Apart from
no, he's good at on the last man, like I've just said, stretching the team and getting other players into, and he finishes as well. We're being far too harsh on him. He's made some really good goals this season, and he's created errors for other players to score. So yeah, I think you're being harsh on him, not you, Dan, but Tim and the other two fellas from last week. So yeah, I think he'll show you all up as well. Hopefully, the next couple of weeks, he'll bag a couple of goals.
We need a striker. That's what this squad is missing. The right side, yeah, that needs attention now. Kieris has gone, but I do think that will, once Puku's back, hopefully a bit of game time between Mkhitongo. We need a striker. That's the bottom.
If Jones stays completely fit the whole season, I'd be confident going with what we've got, providing we can sort that right side out. Don't get me wrong, squad's bare, and like I say, injuries would have a huge impact on us. We've seen that with Kyoso leaving, Poku being out, that the other players coming in are not good enough. But again, we knew that finances and everything was going to be a little bit thin on the ground, so we are where we are. Let's see what happens.
We have been incredibly lucky with suspensions and injuries. I think that's a key part. But I suppose the point I was making is that Jones does have a place to play, but he's not a starter. And you talked about the squad not being good enough. I feel like he falls into that bracket. He's not one of these starting 11 amazing players that we've got. He's an impact sub that you bring on when the defence is leggy and you need a bit of pace.
Has anyone seen the rumour of another right-sided player we might be signing?
Go on.
Joe Ward from Derby.
Yeah, he's. I don't think I'd want him.
I'd
take him.
Yeah, listen, I think he's a bit of a come across a bit of a bell when he's with us, didn't he? Let's be honest. Like on social media and stuff like that, I've seen a bit of an arrogant fucker. But as a footballer, I always quite liked him. He was a bit limited, but he was very solid down the right, and I think he would open that right side up for us again if we couldn't get Kyoso. I really do. I would take him over a Premier League right back. I'd take him all day.
Nah, we bring way too many players back to this club when we shouldn't be. It's a posh thing to do. That and falling in love with loan players seems to be the posh way. I don't know. But yeah.
I don't think you're giving Joe Ward enough credit. He had several years with us. He had a lot of assists. He was a very, very good player for us. Now, yes, you can be a bit bitter about the playoff final where he made so many mistakes in the 45 minutes that he played. And, you know, his attitude towards the club after that. But I take it back in a heartbeat. I absolutely would. If for nothing else, the lovely little smile he gave Ricky J. Jones after we scored the winner against Derby. It was beautiful to watch. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I think the reason, don't get me wrong, Joe Ward is a good player, but I think he stood out in a poor squad. I think in this squad, I would take Kyoso over Ward. I don't feel like we would get...
Whoa. I never said I'd have Ward over Kyoso.
Nor did I.
Yeah, I'd have Ward over a Premier League right back, you know, young championship right back. I would have Ward over them, yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe. Up your way, Dan. Ogbetta's joined Bolton, scored on his debut as well. He'd have a place to play at left back at the minute.
He would, but he decided to join Bolton instead. Right. Like you said, we've got to stop falling in love with loan players. You know, forget about him. It's never going to happen.
Posh fans always say this. I've never, other than Kyoso, obviously I'm a grown man, I don't love other footballers, but when you say like falling in love with and really wanting to play, I've never, what loan players have we fallen in love with?
Well, Stephen Bender.
There's many goalkeepers that we've had over the last couple of years.
I did like Bender, but yeah. For me, mainly, no, Kyoso, I really, just because, not even with his football ability, I just love how passionate he is. I absolutely love that. And it's a dying breed in the modern game. So, yeah, Kyoso is the only one I've really wanted back. But
another lone player we all fell in love with, and we all forget this because we signed him eventually, Sammy Smonix.
Yeah, Callum Morton. No, obviously, we didn't fall in love with Callum Morton. There's been a few, and it always seems to be defenders and goalkeepers that we seem to fall in love with
Sammy Smodic.
Yeah, apart from Sammy's an enigma though. He doesn't count. But Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I do think we need some loan signings, even if they're not ready for the first team, because we are really threadbare. A couple of injuries and our season is done. A bit of proper negative Nelly tonight. One last thing I just want to quickly chat to you both about. I know that you both consume this quite a lot from your Amsterdam offices. Posh Plus has been getting a little bit of grief this week. I know there were some technical issues during the Lincoln game. We are now, half a season in, just over half a season in, without the BBC contract. So, we've had enough time now to judge it. Do you still think the club made the right or wrong decision, Dan?
I'll be honest, bar the odd occasion this weekend being one of them, I've barely noticed the difference. There's a little less I follow fanfare, a little less promotion of the league in general. But it still works the same. You can still watch the game. That's all I really cared about in the first place. The commentary is terrible, but it was terrible before. We're not really losing anything there, with the exception of our very good friend Sam Edwards. yeah, thanks. You're not really noticing a difference in the production value or anything like that. Yes, this weekend was very poor. I agree with everyone on X. God, it feels so wrong saying that. It's Twitter. I agree with everyone on Twitter that this week's quality was poor. It was buffering constantly. It was juttering in and out. We didn't have commentary, though, for 20 minutes at the start of the game. And I, for one, would say that was a fantastic win. More of that, please.
I don't really consume it because, obviously, I'm a law-abiding citizen. But, Jared, you watch it a fair bit, don't you?
Yeah, like Dan, really, there's not been a huge change. I do feel for the people who are, relying on the radio, I don't think it's as accessible and easy for them, because obviously with the distance and the zones and things like that, I know people have been saying about. But yeah, for me as a Posh Plus consumer, as you say, I think it's really good value for money is what I would say. I can't remember what I pay. I think it's £140, because obviously every Saturday I'm always in Europe. So, and I think whatever that works out to a game, I've been really happy with it. The commentary, it is what it is. I think it's a little bit less opinionated, because obviously they're employed by the club, fully understand that. They don't want to lose their jobs. And for Posh fans getting, I presume they're getting paid, a couple of ginsters, whatever they get, it's great for them, because they get to travel and watch the team and commentate on it. It's ideal. So, no, I think it's improved. I mean, the pre-match stuff, I'm always make sure that's on mute. I'm sick to death of hearing what Josh Knight's favourite colour is and shit like that. But I must say I am a fan of Posh Plus. It's really, really handy for me anyway.
Yeah. On the field, let's talk the Pizza Cup very briefly. Beat Crawley 2-1 in the rearranged game, which puts us through to the quarterfinals this week against AFC Wimbledon. As you're listening to this, that will probably have already been played, to be honest, so we won't dwell on this too much. But Dan, it was the Crawley game was, I mean, it wasn't overly pretty. They played quite well. I thought Crawley played quite well. Posh did, I suppose, just enough really to get through.
Yeah, we did, but bear in mind, it wasn't a full-strength squad. We played a couple of the squad players in starting roles. We got Fuchs out for a few minutes, which he desperately needed. Yes, it was, in general, a lackluster performance that we scraped through. But that's all we need to do. And, I'm happy that players are getting the minutes and getting a bit more time on the pitch. If we can get Fuchs back to his previous fitness and previous ability, he's a fantastic asset to have. And, he gives us a bit more depth, which is, again, what we desperately, desperately need. A bit controversial, and people are going to at me for this because everyone knows that I love a cup run. I wouldn't mind if we lost tomorrow. I really wouldn't. Been speaking all week to a Bolton fan about, their cup run last year and how they went to Wembley and did it all. Then it ended up costing them because they played too many games and they didn't have the squad depth. Now, I would argue that our squad depth is worse than Bolton's was last year, just on player base alone. And the added three games that we don't necessarily have to play, if we're being honest, is potentially going to hurt us. Yes, I'd love a trip to Wembley. It's fantastic when you go, and we all love a cup run. However, if we are focused on promotion with this squad right here, right now, I'm not opposed to playing the kids against Wimbledon and just saying cheers, bye.
Yeah, but we don't. So we've only got two games to Wembley. After the Wimbledon game, we're the semi-final and the final aren't played until like
all that Halloween.
Do you know what I mean?
All that Bolton fan is doing, Dan, is just blaming it on the actual Wembley win. Bollocks, he's talking. You say, like, Critchlow plays, Emmanuel Fernandez, Fuchs, De Havilland, Adjaboy, Mothersill. These players are not playing each week, so what does it matter? Like, play them again against Wimbledon if we get through. Brilliant. I'm not saying play the first 11, but, yeah, no, two or three games more. Well, it's not going to make a difference. They're all young lads, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like now is the point where we should start to pay a bit of interest in it, because we would absolutely all go to Wembley. The big one this week, Lincoln 0, Posh 0. Joe, this was, I mean, it was boring. I'm trying to think of the right adjective, but it was boring.
No word of a lie, I genuinely did fall asleep between 50 minutes and 75 minutes. That was because I had a very late night the night before, but it also was absolutely mind-bogglingly boring. It was terrible. But it was, I think you knew it was going to be one of them games after like 10, 15 minutes. Everything was scrappy. It was, I think it was quite a packed house, wasn't it? It was, well, not packed, but it seemed a good atmosphere there. Yeah, you could tell it was going to be maybe a bit of quality and Jay Jones, and that will hurt you, Tim. But yeah, it did actually hit the bar with a really awkward chance, I'll have you know, as well.
He did well.
Yeah, I think a point, not the end of the world. I'm not overreacting about it. I think they did what they had to do, and you know, we couldn't really break them down either. So, yeah, 0-0 all over that was.
Disappointed with this one, Dan, or do you share Jared's optimism?
Look, I'm disappointed every time we don't pick up 3 points. That's the simplicity of it. You know, we're a football team chasing promotion. When we drop
sound like Tim on the Charlton pod.
Well, good. He made a good point in that case. You know, any time that we drop points and others pick them up is a bad day at the office for us. I'd like to see the disallowed goal back. I don't know if it was offside. It looked very, very tight for me. Ricky J. Jones was very unlucky in his miss. So, look, a draw is better than a loss, I guess, but I don't know. I think that was a shining example of the fact that we're missing a bit of depth and something to bring off the bench, because JCH came on and he did nothing.
In terms of the table, then, it does take us out the top two. Pompey managed to secure a 1-0 win, so they stay top, played 29, 59 points. Bolton, you have to say, are the clear favourites. Well, not clear favourites, but the favourites at least. Played 27, 57 points, two games in hand over Pompey and one over us. We find ourselves in third, played 28, 56 points. Also on 56 points are Derby, but they've played a game extra. Barnsley are in fifth, and Stevenage have re-entered the playoff race. They move into sixth. With a game in hand over Oxford, who drop to seventh. It's quite tight there. I still think Stevenage will drop off, and I will die on that hill. I've been saying it all season. Not that we care too much about the bottom. Fleetwood, Carlisle and Cheltenham, you would have to argue, are pretty much down. And then Reading, Port Vale, Wickham. And interestingly, Charlton, you would say, make up the relegation battle at the moment. If only they bought a certain striker, I wonder if they could have kept themselves up and freed up a spot in our squad for a certain return of the PK. Quick break and we will preview Wigan.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Wigan at home. In fact, we've got two games between now and the next time. No, we haven't. Well, we have. We've got the Pizza Cup game, but we won't talk about that because it's tomorrow, so it's pointless. So let's focus on the weekend. Home to Wigan. This is a home game, so you'd like to feel it's a a game that we should win? Jared, is this one that you would expect us to win?
Yes, but I think it'll be a tough one. Wigan, despite their place in the league, are quite a good team. So, yeah, I'd like to think we'll win, but I can't see it being an easy one.
Yeah, they are 13th, Dan. They have won two of their last five. They lost this weekend. They score plenty of goals, to be fair. The problem is they ship them for fun as well. So it's got all the makings, of course, of a 0-0 now I've said that, but potentially could be a good game, this one.
Yeah, they're very capable of scoring. Obviously, they've done over Bolton once already this season, 4-0 away from home. That was at Bolton. And, you know, they're, I think, the last side to beat us in the league, if I'm not mistaken, back in November. I don't think we've lost since then in the league. Again, if I'm wrong, by all means, correct me.
7th of November away at the DW, Wigan 2, Peterborough 1. Up the ticks. That was, yeah, that was...
Sounds
about right. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're a very capable side. Obviously, their position in the league, I don't think, is fair reflection. Obviously, you have to bear in mind their points deductions in there. But... Look, any game this at home this season, I would back us. You know, we do look very capable at home. We, you know, shining example of the form that we were in last time we got promoted at home. You know, we were making London Road into a fortress. So I'd like to say we come out with a win, yeah.
You changing anything for this one, Jared, or is it the same 11 led with Ricky Joe Jones leading the line?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stick with how it is. I don't think Poku's back yet, as you think, for the Port Vale game, Fergie said. So, yeah, stick how it is. Hopefully we'll get the 3 points.
First match of a new month.
Which actually, means... no, we can't keep the same because we've got a new keeper. We lost our keeper. So.
Yes, but Bilo obviously will be playing the Pizza Cup game, so you'd expect him to be back. And, of course, there may be incomings and outgoings between now and Saturday. What we all know is that as we kick off the Wigan game, that is our squad for the rest of the season. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see who lines up. It is a new month for me, so there's a little bit of admin to do. So just while I talk through the fixtures for February, have a think about your Ivan Tony award nominations for January. These are your fixtures then for February. So we've got Wigan at home this Saturday. We've then away Exeter next Tuesday. Wickham away the following Saturday. Port Vale at home a week on Tuesday. And then Blackpool at home on the 17th. So we've got 2 weeks of Tuesday, Saturdays. I suppose 4 weeks if you include the two Pizza Cup games that we've had. But we've definitely got 2 weeks of midweek league games to come. And then we finish off the month away at a certain shabby stadium. Tickets have gone on sale for this one. So Wigan, Exeter, Wickham, Port Vale, Blackpool, Cambridge, Dan, on paper, looks okay as far as months go.
Yeah, it's going to be the making of our season, really, isn't it? You know, like, there's no dramatically big games in there, you would argue, apart from, obviously, the derby.
No, we're not playing derby. We've played them already.
Ha, ha, ha. You're so funny. you know, so on paper, you would say we can come out of that with full points. Now, we know football doesn't work like that. But on paper, I'd back our chances. It's not these months that I'm worried about. It's not February. It's not March. It's when we come into April and we've got that run of playing, what is it, something stupid, like 5 out of the top 10 in the last 8 games.
That's all at home, though.
They are all at home. Yeah, 100%. They are all at home. But I just keep looking at the fixture list and looking at Bolton at home on the last day of the season and thinking, oh no.
I'd be done by them.
It better be, because I'm away for that weekend, and I'll be, honestly, if it's all relying on that game, I'll be fuming.
Where are you going?
Coventry. It's not the other side of the world. I'd probably come back for it, but I'll be...
Visiting Tim?
No, not quite. You're not there now, are you, Tim?
Yeah, I'm close enough. I could meet you there.
Well, last year I went, didn't I? And you was like, I swear you like jogged past the hotel.
I did. Yeah,
I think I'm say hello, though, but...
I saw the structural engineers there trying to work out which floor you were on at the time. Ivan Tony Award for January, then. Who's your nomination, Dan?
Ephraim Mason-Clark. I think he's done bits this month for us.
Jared is fuming.
Two things. He said done bits, which is horrific. And he also took my nomination.
You can have him as well, Jared.
I will have him. Mason-Clark.
Fine. Who am I to disagree with three times host of the season winner, and a man that could sport a top-knot haircut. So, Ephraim Mason-Clark, congratulations. That's possibly the most seamless and easy Ivan Tony Award we've had to give for a long time. Ephraim Mason-Clark, you are the Ivan Tony Award winner for January. Well done, sir. Prediction League update for you. Here's your top 10. Squadron leader Jetwash remains top, has now used their triple chip point, though. They have 23 points. David Dillaway, Carl Irving, they are both tied second on 18 points. Dell is fourth on 17. Seamus Walker is fifth on 16. Emerald Posh, Josh Mackey are joint sixth with 15 points. Jared, you are eighth. You've come from nowhere. On 13 points, you have used your triple chip, though. Producer Danny and myself make up the top 10 on 12 points. And then we find Dan in 11th, Sam in 12th, well, joint 11th, because you've both got 9 points. And then Nathan is trying his best. He is in 19th with 6 points. So I need a prediction, please, for Wigan at home. Jared.
2-1 Posh.
2-1 Posh, you have used your triple chip, so I cannot see if you want to use that. Dan?
Sorry, there was a bit of background noise. Bear with me.
I'll do it for Dan. I think we'll lose 4-0.
He's having his microwave pudding, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Sorry. Be quiet, Grandad. Wigan at home. I think we win 2-0.
You're all flustered there, Dan.
He reminded me of Kisby. He reminded me of Kisby then. I think.
No, you were flustered and your camera was off. Was something happening under the table then? Look how red you've gone.
No.
Oh, you know that scene in between is where they watch him get wanked off. That's what I feel like we're doing now.
Whoa. This is a family-friendly sponsored podcast. TalkSport would not abide by this kind of conversation.
Of course they would. They have Simon Jordan on their show.
Let's swiftly change the subject, gents.
I've paid good money for these kind of webcam shows.
He's definitely being pulled off, isn't he? He's being pulled off, definitely.
Look at how happy he is. Look at him.
It's like he's at a gig.
It's just the way the camera went blank. He came in very quickly. Like, oh, shit. Yeah, no.
He definitely came in. He's on the home straight.
And he predicted we'll win 2-0, which is very un-Dan.
It's very un-me.
he just for the first score, he came to dead, wasn't it?
He wants you to fuck off quick. That's why.
My prediction for this one, we win 4-2. Let's go with that. I do think, though, and I know I've said it for a few weeks now, I do feel like we are on a... We're due a little dip in form at some point, so I'm mindful of that. I feel like our performances have maybe dropped a touch, obviously because of that right side. So maybe this won't be as easy as perhaps we expect. In any case, we will see. And we've got a big few days ahead of us with the transfer window. Will the lack of signings come back to haunt us? I don't know. Anything that you fellas would like to talk about? Dan, obviously I know you're now quite keen to go and get cleaned up, but anything you want to chat about, Jared, before we wrap up?
No, just that I hope that the club stick to their guns and keep saying no. Because I just really don't want to lose one of our big hitters.
Yeah, Dan wasn't able to say no to a big hit there. Anything you wanted to cover, Dan?
You've got to stop. No, I echo what...
Is that what you said, was it? That's what you've been saying with the cameras up. You've got to stop, I'm recording.
He just covered his lap. He don't want to cover anything else.
No, I think I agree with Jared. We can't afford to lose anyone, really. And, you know, there's rumours now, as we come up to the end of the window, that Ephraim Mason-Clark's being sniffed at. Ronnie Edwards has had rumours since he was 18 that, you know, bigger clubs want to come in for him. So, yeah.
It's meant to be Norwich, isn't it? For Ems. What,
yeah,
Norwich
such a good move.
Is it?
It is. Norwich is... Like, look, say what you want. And I know there's...
I know they're a bigger club. They're a bigger club. But you're not going to get anywhere with them, are you?
Yeah, he's
getting regularly in the Premier League. Yeah,
what for 6 months and then, or 9 months, and they get shot back down again. No, he needs to get to a better club than that.
I don't know where that came from. Just belched out. I don't think he would. I don't think he's quite ready for a bigger club yet. I feel like Norwich is probably about the right level for him just now. To be fair. Oh, Jared, is your missus there as well now?
Yes, she just walked in.
Hi, Chloe. I notice you don't turn your camera off when your missus comes in, though.
My door's right behind me.
Yeah.
She's telling me to be quiet.
Oh, sorry, we're waking the kids.
And hello to Tim.
Hi, Chloe.
Oh.
He said hi, Chloe. Oh, and hi, the one who goes to gigs, she said.
Oh, hello.
That's you, Dan.
Yeah, is it? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
it's
you, Dan. Yeah, because she knew that band that you was at the other day. Just shut the fucking door, then you won't hear me, will you?
Oh, Zebrahead. Oh, yeah,
shut the door. Shut the door, then. Oh, shut the door. I can hear you. Shut the door.
So we've got opposite ends of the marriage spectrum going on tonight.
She's saying you're making too much noise with the fucking door open. And now she's opened it again. Chloe, shut the door. We're 2 minutes off from finishing. You always do this when I'm about to finish. Shut the door.
Danny, you've got to keep all this in.
Jesus.
Yeah, maybe for the green room, though.
I feel like I want to talk.
Patreon all over.
I feel like I want to bring up some extra points now just to keep you talking, Jared. What's your thoughts on what's your thoughts on the new, I don't know, posh range of T-shirts that they've released? I don't know.
None of them fit me.
Yeah,
well, actually, you've made a good point there, and I'm very conscious that we are about to finish. But this,
some of us already have.
Behave. This joint venture that Dara and the new shareholder have apparently gone in on, the Smotique, is a clothing brand that specialises in sports clothing. You would imagine we probably move away from the Puma deal.
I did think this, and I did have a quick look on their website. They've got some quite nice designs, to be fair, and they're all unique, so it's not like another catalogue shirt.
As long as the fans are consulted, because this year's home kit, not a big fan.
He is a fan, isn't he? This guy. So I feel like
I think it'd be
the last 15 years.
Yeah. In fairness, I think he moved to the area then, didn't he? But it's good that someone actually moved to the area and started supporting the team rather than keep going to Arsenal or something. But yeah, no, I'm quite excited for that because, like you say, it would be more maybe retro designs. We'll have something a little bit different. Just copy and paste a lot of it with Nike and Adidas, isn't it? You see like Cheltenham in the exact same strip with a different badge on. It's a bit...
Yeah,
so Motique, let's hope it happens. Is that how you say it?
I don't know, but sorry to any Cheltenham fans listening. Apologies that Jared's just...
No, I'm just saying your kits are shit like ours.
Yeah, a bit like the team, to be fair.
The gold one's nice. The gold. I do like our gold shirt.
Gold shirt?
Yeah, it's blue and red, isn't it? But everyone calls it the gold shirt because it's got gold trim around the collar.
The third
kit, yeah.
It's not gold though, Dan.
No, I know, but it's got gold trim, so everyone calls it the gold shirt.
He's got post-nut like confusion, anyway. Joe.
Yeah. More on the blue block next week.
Yeah, isn't it? And just, Joe, if you could just speak a bit louder, just piss Chloe off a bit more.
I know, I'm quite nervous now.
Yeah, isn't it? Just tell her if she wants to vent, I'm happy to listen to how much of a bastard you are. If she wants to message me.
Sure. I'm sure she'll tell you, yeah.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Yellow Block. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, and follow us on the socials, or visit our website, www.theyellowblock.co.uk. Isn't it? That is 100% happening under the table. He's got his hands behind his head.
Look at
his
him.
Chest thrust forwards. Here's to a quiet week at the posh. Up the posh.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.